Chuck, come on up.
Printed off some notes here and they missed part of it somehow. It went off the page. It's because I wanted to honor my brother Marvin. I wanted to get the words right. So I'll just use this for a little bit, then I'll get rid of it. So much that's happened already here this morning. It's been a beautiful morning. And I just felt, you know, an invitation go out. Isn't it beautiful that the Lord invites us? You know, there's this invitation, this longing on his heart to be with us. So I like the definition of prayer, keeping company with God, keeping company with God. There's a church in Brooklyn, New York, that has a Tuesday night prayer meeting. And we were inspired years ago by a story that we heard of a prodigal. And on that Tuesday night, they felt led to pray for this person. And the pastor describing it said that the room turned into what could only be described as a birthing room, you know, like where something was being given birth. You know, I mean, the sound in that room. The story is marvelous. And I'll just tell you, it ends well. That's about the most I'm going to say about that story, but is that it ends well. And so part of my longing is that Monday nights, and I've had this throughout my life, different times where a meeting other than Sunday has been the meeting that I most wanted to be at. You know, that it was church for me. It was a place of meeting. We came back to Ottawa one time in between pastorates. We landed here for 10 months, and we'd been, you know, that we've been through life, you know, like, and you know, sores and scars and wounds and all the kinds of stuff that life throws at you. And so for 10 months, I say that Valerie would cry. And I, you know, like just in the presence of the Lord, you know, it wasn't like, but I always thought they're going to think I'm an abusive husband. You know, every time we come into a meeting, she's just crying, you know, but we landed on a Thursday night meeting where it became our, you know, it just became life for us. It was life for us. And I mean, we got prophesied over, we got given things, we had them love on our kids, like just all the stuff that you need for healing, all the stuff you need for restoration, all the stuff you need to kind of get on with life, you know, and be propelled back into life again. So that was an amazing time. So I want to just say a couple of things before we move on, and we want to get into the word, and I'm going to have you participate this morning a little bit here. But I wanted to say a couple of things. We're really talking about family this morning. We're going to have a family meeting after the service, but we are a family. Many people have come into this building, even doesn't matter the size, you know, it's not the size of the congregation. It's what the Lord has put upon us as his people, you know, and what is present in the house, so to speak. I only use that term loosely because this is I call it a stinking warehouse because of the mice, but you know, because God could do better for a house, you know, if he wanted his own house, you know, but at the same time, what he does with his people is he comes and he inhabits, you know, and sets up house. He sets up house in us and with us, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. So we're talking about family. So as we're talking about family, I want to make a comment about Zoom, and I want to mention Zoom because it was mentioned last week, and I know that it's often mentioned. I remember, you know, Marvin was really bold, you know, like this was Marvin here. This is what Marvin would say. He said, Mishpa, I won't probably pronounce it, you know, Mishpa, we miss you, you know, come on back, you know, and Marvin, and I'd be there kind of cringing because I think, and you're going to offend somebody here, Marvin, you know, and he would say, you know, Mishpa, which means family. But I looked up the word and it's a very interesting word. Listen to this. The word Mishpaha, like however you pronounce it, meaning family, comes from the root Shapaha, is a group joined together. Oh yeah, this is where I have to go back up here. Is a group meaning, it comes from the root meaning to join. The family is a group joined together where each role in the family serves a specific function to keep the family joined together. Do you hear that? So that was Marvin. He was saying, Mishpa, we need you, you know. And so he wasn't meaning to insult anybody, you know, who was on Zoom. And in fact, you know, we have kept Zoom for good reason, you know, and like there are people, you know, and you know, you might be among them who don't particularly like people sneezing on you or coming around you coughing in your face. You know, I mean, that might just be a courtesy not to do that, you know, and so Zoom serves a purpose. And
But I want to read a scripture to you that's read many, many times unashamedly. I want to read this scripture because we're talking in these days about being strengthened and encouraged for what lies ahead. We're being strengthened and encouraged for what lies ahead. I remember a lady walking in the back of that, the back doors of the church, and she began to cry. And she told me, she says, it's been 2 years since I've been in a gathering of people. And she just began to cry. So this is what the scripture says. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this is the word of the Lord. And we want to strengthen and encourage one another for the day of the Lord and for what's coming up. And if you don't know that there's something, you know, something coming, then you need to know that in order to realize how important it is to be strengthened and encouraged and built up in this hour in order to face those things that are coming. Ephesians 4:29, and these are, I want to share a few.
I'll stay up here for a minute. If it works, we'll see how this works.
In order to talk to the family, I can't talk to the family without this scripture and some other scriptures that I'll share with you. But Ephesians 4:29 says this. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. That's a very, very important word. And the word edification is one of my favorite words because it means to build up, to build up. And we need to build one another up in this hour. I would even go as far as to say that we need to be less, you know, less in the spirit of a connoisseur and more in the spirit of one who builds up and strengthens. I heard a guy say one time after a prophetic brother got up and he gave this long prophecy and he sat down and this encouraging senior prophet goes up to him and says, yeah, about 10%, he said. You got about 10% there. And he was being generous, but he was also being encouraging. You hear what I'm saying? He was also being encouraging. This is a follow-up from my last message, and I wanted to quote this from Francis Schaeffer's book, The Mark of the Christian. So listen to this. I have observed one thing that divides and severs true Christian groups and Christians. What leaves a bitterness that can last for 20, 30, 40 years, or even 50 or 60 years in a son's or daughter's memory? It is not the issue of doctrine or belief that caused the differences in the first place. Invariably, it is a lack of love and the bitter things that are said by true Christians in the midst of differences. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as brings grace and edification and builds up according to the need of the moment. I was in a Promise Keepers meeting one time, and this guy quoted the scripture, you know, where the two or three are gathered. But he gave his own paraphrase of that scripture, and he said, when two or three of you get it together, I'll be the first one to show up, to see it for myself. I mean, I don't think that's too big a stretch. Unity attracts heaven. It really attracts heaven. Unity at so many levels. A marriage, a struggling marriage where the husband and wife are determined that they will walk together even through their struggles. Two brothers that have a disagreement and they just cannot see things the same way, but commit to walking together. Valerie and I, when we got married, we said divorce would never be an option. And I often say of our marriage, Amazing Grace speaks of our marriage through many dangers, toils, and snares. Does it speak of your marriage? I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. On July 23rd, I wrote in my journal just a thought, and this is what I wrote. I wrote seven homes to strengthen the body in preparation for what is coming. Seven homes to strengthen the body in preparation for what is coming. Luke chapter 12 says this. It says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters find them watching when he comes. There's a famous quote, and you may have heard it, and it simply says this. It says, all word and no spirit, we dry up.
all spirit and no word, we blow up. Both word and spirit, we grow up. Scripture is often seen simply as a way to gain information. Instead, we need to understand that Scripture is a place to encounter God's voice and experience His presence. Some people have gone as far as to call it a love letter. I read this by a notable author, and he wrote seven ways to read the Bible, leading to transformation. And I'll just cite one of them because I really like this one. It resonates with me. Read the Bible in a repentant spirit. Read the Bible in a repentant spirit. I pastored a congregation, a little Baptist church, for 5 years. And I said one day, if I had a ponytail and an earring, would you be able to hear what I'm saying? Would you be able to hear what I'm saying? And I went as far as to say that if I gave you the Bible references alone and sat down, if you were hungry, you'd be fed. If you were hungry, you would be fed. It was so beautiful, Gina, in the prayer room when you prayed in Spanish. You prayed the language of the heart. And then you expressed in English how about the hunger of God, thanking God for a hunger, for a hunger. There's something in this awakening that's taking place right now where a hunger is growing. A hunger is growing in God's people, and it won't be satisfied with anything less than Him. The Bible says, blessed are the hungry. You want to be blessed, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry. So don't just read the Bible. Let the Bible read you. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And one of my favorites is after Jesus got down and washed his disciples' feet, he turns to them and says, now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. What a visual. I mean, that was one of the most powerful pictures. They would never forget that, what Jesus did for them. Now that you know these things, now that you've seen these things, blessed are you. Just connect that together. Blessed are you. Do you want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I know what it is to be blessed. You know what it is to be blessed. We want to be blessed. There's nothing wrong with being blessed. Jesus said, you will be blessed if you do them. John 13. And James goes on to say, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Another translation says, be doer of the words, not hearers only. I have a scriptural map of my Christian life from the time I was 17. I wish I'd held on to every Bible I had because the map would be more complete, you know. But I can draw a map. I did this a little bit with the interns. I drew some of the map of my spiritual journey, my life with the Lord through Scripture. When I met Valerie and the Lord spoke to me through a scripture and said, "Be patient," and from Psalm 37, "Be patient and wait for the Lord to act." You know, and I tell young people, "Be patient and wait for the Lord to act. It's better to wait and let Him act than it is to rush ahead of Him and just because you're so wanting to be married." I was engaged before I met Valerie, and the only thing we had in common, we realized later, was that we both wanted to be married. It wasn't quite enough to. There's this gal, I'm really impressed with women and men of courage, women and men of truth. Truth is so powerful. It's so powerful, especially in this hour. I can't exaggerate how necessary it is that we put ourselves under truth, that we're careful to walk in the truth. We're careful to listen to what is true. So I was listening to this lady. Her name is Carrie Lake. Some of you might know the name Carrie Lake. She spent 27 years in journalism. I want to just tell, no, I'm not going to go there. I want to just tell this story because I want to get to the heart of this, and then we're going to get into the scripture together, okay? Carrie Lake, 27 years of journalism career. The hang up for her, she said, was walking away from a big salary. The hang up for her, no problem. I mean, her conscience was, you know, she just couldn't continue what she was doing with a good conscience, a clear conscience. But she says, the hang up for me was walking away from a big salary. So she writes this. She says, I remember sitting at my desk and I was praying to God about it. I took the Bible and I opened it to Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy. I don't have it written here. I think it's 1 Timothy, but it's chapter 6 and verse 7. You bring nothing into this world and you take nothing out of it. This gave her the courage to walk away. I mean, there's a huge story here.
But the story is about the courage that was instilled in her by the voice of the Lord through the scripture that she read, and the assurance and what the strength of the word. And last week, our brother said, when God wanted to do amazing things, he would separate the vessel, separated from what men are saying and surrounded by what God is saying. Separated from what men are saying and surrounded by what God is saying. And so we're going to look at the word this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. This, what we're going to do in the next few minutes, is an ancient practice that began in the 6th century by a man by the name of Benedict. And it was a practice that he wrote about, and he said for some of his students, he said, he urged them to listen to God's word with the ear of your hearts. To listen to God's word with the ears of your heart. And he went on to say, in description of this practice, someone wrote, it is considered feasting on the word. The process is often described as biting, reading, chewing, meditating, savoring, praying, digesting, and contemplating. Timothy said in 1 Timothy 4:13, he said, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture. Now I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have, Kevin, if you wouldn't mind coming up, and Zechariah, and Susan, you can stay there. The last will be first, but I'll invite you up in a moment. But we're going to pray, and then we're going to have three readings of this passage of scripture. And I'm going to give some instructions each time, okay, just small instructions. My wife calls me Mr. Instructor, but I'll try to keep them really simple. Come on up, guys. Just have a seat at the front, and then Kevin, you're gonna come up first, okay? In a moment, I'll invite you up, and then Zechariah will be second reader, and Susan will be third reader. So first, I ask Holy Spirit and acknowledge you. We acknowledge your presence here with us. We acknowledge that you are the one that Jesus said would come, and you would teach us, you would lead us into all truth. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for what you do in our hearts. There's nothing like it. Hearing one thing from you is more valuable than gold and silver. And so thank you for your presence here and what you're going to do with us and in us in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Just before Kevin reads, I'm going to instruct all the readers to read slowly enough that we have time to hear. So just don't rush through it. Just read through it slowly enough that we can kind of, you know, listen and digest the word. The first reading, we're simply listening for a word or phrase that touches our hearts and gets our attention. So the first reading, all you're looking for is a word or a phrase that gets your attention. And after each reading, we're going to have 1 minute of silence. That'll probably be the hardest part of this exercise. 1 minute of silence.
All right. Good morning. So we're going to be reading John 15, 1 to 17 from the New King James Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Okay. Now, if you're willing, I'd like a few of you just to stay where you are, but I'd like you to share the word of the phrase that you got, but without any commentary. There'll be time to talk more in a little bit, but just the phrase or the word that you received. Who's willing to share that? Just lift your hand and, yep.
I have two. Without me, you can do nothing. You did not choose me, I chose you.
What God spoke to me was to remain in him and be with him in him.
To abide in the vine and abide in his love.
I'm just going to do two more, and then I want you to keep just holding that, pondering, maybe three.
Just love one another. Greater love has no man than this.
Just to remind myself that there's still things that need to be pruned.
It was how many times they said, abide in me. Just abide, abide.
Okay, so just keep holding that. Don't let go of that. I got you're already clean. You're already clean. So for the second reading, we're going to do the same practice. After the reading, we're going to have a minute of silence. So while you're pondering the word or phrase that has landed on your heart, while you're pondering this, we're going to ask the question, where does the word or phrase touch my life today? So during the second reading, where does the word or the phrase touch my life today?
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Okay, Susan's going to come. And during this reading, the question is, what is Jesus' personal invitation to me from this scripture? What is Jesus' personal invitation to me? What does he want me to know? What does he want me to think? What does he want to do? What is his invitation?
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
We're going to take a moment and a few moments together. And I'd like to invite a few of you to share if you're willing and wanting to. And I want to underline too, maybe you've never shared before, or you're hesitant. You're not one of those ones that, like me or someone else, who might just hop up and likes the microphone or something. But I want to encourage you, and I'll even bring the microphone to you so you don't have to get up if you have something you'd like to share this morning. And the other thing is, we all know how encouraging it is when someone shares something of how the Lord spoke to them, that it often speaks to us as well. It encourages our hearts. So we're going to take a few minutes to do that. So who's going to be, who'd like to go first? Okay, good.
So after the first reading, I had this feeling that, like, I need to be pruned more. But in my head, I was thinking it was cutting off the dead branches, not just clipping the live ones to make them more fruitful. So I realized that the second reading, that my idea of what pruning was not cutting off dead branches, but improving ones that are already growing and new. And that's sort of just where I sat in for a minute and just thought about how my mind was assuming that the things that I'm struggling with are things that shouldn't be there, but they're not. They're things that need to be worked through and pruned off of the already good branch.
We have had a tomato plant that was growing out of the compost, and it just came up on its own. In fact, there were two. There was slits in the side of the compost pile, and we had two great big tomato plants. They were huge, but most of the leaves, most of the branches, and they were very healthy. We knew it was alive, but most of the branches didn't have any fruit on them. There was a few small tomatoes at the bottom. Eventually, it got a little bit bigger. But if we had pruned those live branches, if we had cut them back, and they didn't even have any flowers on them, they were showing that they had a lot of life. If we had cut them back, they were just spreading all over the sidewalk, and they were just so healthy and green, and they looked like they could produce a lot of fruit, but they weren't. There were little tiny tomatoes that were growing at the bottom. And I think of myself, and I think sometimes we just have a lot of trouble loving one another. And I think if we just prune away those things that we don't need, those things in our life that are just, I mean, yes, we're alive. We have salvation. We're alive. But some of those things can be pruned back, and maybe our fruit of the Spirit can be more.
What I got out of that was the Lord said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. And I chose you because I expect that you're going to bear much fruit. And it keeps asking me, who have you loved today?
So I just felt the Lord speaking through that you may bear more fruit. And I'm just, so excited right now. Often I feel like what I've experienced of the Lord so far in my life has been so tremendous that I could easily ride the rest of my life out just appreciating what he's done already. But he said he wants to bear more fruit, to do more things, to do more amazing and more awesome things. And I'm just so excited to see what else he has.
Yeah. Well said.
Fair view. Yeah. Okay.
So what I noticed is that the command that Jesus gives multiple times in here is abide in me. And right down at the end of the passage, I thought it said, love one another. But I read it again, and it says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. So the takeaway is, and also he says, abide in me so that you will bear much fruit. Abide in me so that you'll have joy. So to me, it says, we're not commanded to have fruit. We're not commanded to have joy. We're not commanded, literally, to love one another. We're just commanded to abide in him. And all these things will flow from that.
Recently, in a Bible study that I'm in, we went over the definition of what a disciple is. Unfortunately, I forget it. but we were talking about how, Jesus sent out the disciples to bring the news of Jesus and who Jesus was to everyone. But also, it was that he didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out in groups. Least of all was two by two, but he sent them out in groups of six or 10, or all of them together. And I think that's one thing that we need to remember, is we're not alone. We should never be alone. We need to be, and we need to be in groups and have other people like helping, like hold us accountable or even encouraging us and reminding us. And also the verse, to where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. It's like, if you go out in those groups, then you always have him with you anyways, but his presence is so much stronger, and having that strong presence attracts people. So you don't have to go out and look for people to talk to. People will come and just wonder, like, what the heck is it about you that is so special? Like, I want that.
I like that a lot. Thank you for that.
Following on Kate's thing about discipleship, I didn't know what the connection between the three were, or were going to be until all three were done. He said, "You will be my disciple, and without me, you can do nothing. So walk with me and work with me." I don't know if that means anything to anyone else, but it's just very personal for me.
Things that struck me were keep my words, follow my commandments, and vice versa, follow my words and keep my commandments. And the only way we can do that is to get into the word and study the word and know the word. And in that way, we can grow and know his truth, know his love.
Okay, so mine kind of follows his. what really touched me was verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. And God was just showing me the parallel in John 4, 24, where he says God is spirit and his true worshipers worship him in spirit and truth. And so God's really saying to us, you know, we abide in him in his presence. It's relational. It's a relationship with him. And then we abide also in him by listening to his word, which is the truth, right? So we worship him in spirit and truth.
It's going to run around this way. We're going to just have one or two more.
As a former gardener / farmer, I quite good understand what pruning means. And as a true father, as a God, the true pruner, he can see in the branch when it's very small, when it needs to be cut off because it's going to be a fruitless branch. And I got to learn that with tomato plants. We had hundreds of them. And it didn't hurt the plant that much when you pruned them in the early stages. But if you waited until that fruitless branch was almost the size of the other branches, it gave the plant a setback. So many times I feel the Father is nipping those little branches in my life. And we don't even realize it, that if he would have let it get bigger, it would have set us back, unless we are not willing to abide in him so that our joy may be full. And when we're not abiding in him, that fruitless branch grows too big and it gives us a setback. And I feel that's for me a couple of times like that. It has set me back because of the unwillingness to stay abiding in him. And my joy wasn't full. And that really connected together with me is that, you know, he takes away the branch that will not bear fruit because he can see that. And yet he prunes the branches that are going to bear fruit. And then it connected to me in the words that these things have I spoken to you that your joy may remain in you, my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. So without the abiding in him, we don't get pruned on time and we don't carry the joy, which keeps us from bearing the fruit of the spirit that he wants to bear.
Historically, the way that they've concluded this kind of practice is to just just sit for a moment again in silence and welcome the Lord's presence and just remain in him. Just and let those thoughts that he's given and that continue to come just be your thoughts for this moment. So let's just take one more moment of silence. Two beautiful things we can learn from Mary is that she treasured things in her heart and she pondered them. And I encourage you to do that. Don't let these treasures slip from your heart, but ponder them and let them bear good fruit. Good fruit. Yep.
I've been pondering and I thought, slave, what's a slave? A slave is bought with a price. So we are slaves. But Jesus says, no, we're not. It just kind of hit me when I thought, we're bought with a price. But we don't have to be a slave.
Beautiful.